good to be here. Don't know about you all, but the Lord's been good to me.
Amen.
Yes, he has. He's been good to me. If you're visiting tonight, we welcome you to Temple. Make yourself right at home with us. We're glad to have you. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 22. Proverbs chapter number 8 and verse number 22. The scripture says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." Father, bless this now. In your holy name, amen. Now, if you'll continue on, we don't have time to do it all tonight, but if you look at Proverbs chapter number 8, you'll find out that the me is referring to the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God with God before the earth ever came into existence. Notice the speaking here is first person. I was set up from everlasting. And what you have here now is either a play on words or you have identity. In plain words, in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have one saying, I was set up from everlasting from the beginning. Now, I want to talk to you tonight, first of all, about what the scripture says about Christ before he was incarnate. All right? What terms did the Bible use? How did they refer to him? How did scripture refer to the Son of God before he was incarnate? Did Christ have a body before he was incarnate? Well, he used a body. He could appear as a man, but he didn't have to stay in a body as a man. It's only when he became incarnate, when God became a man, that body was his from henceforth, because something had changed. But here we have the wisdom of God. Now, this is referring to the Lord Jesus, I personally believe, and this is before his incarnation. This is looking back into eternity past. How far, we have no idea. But we do know that the earth was not an afterthought. We know that man was not an afterthought, and God did not react when man sinned in the garden. There's no reaction there. He knew exactly what he would do because the Bible says Christ was the Lamb of God slain from or before the foundation of the world. Why did God need a lamb? For a sacrifice for sin. So therefore, he knew exactly what the man would do. So, you know, I appreciate preachers who try to present a good salvation message, and I try to myself. But you got to be careful how you handle things. God does not react to anything. He's never caught off guard. He doesn't sit down and try to figure a mess out. He knows exactly what he's doing. So in Proverbs chapter number 8, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Now the wisdom referred to here, scripture says, New Testament, that Christ is the wisdom of God. The Lord Jesus, of course, you know, I've preached so much to you about how that so many of these things, like the grace and hope, the mercy and all of that, Christ is all that. He is that. It becomes a person. Now, I want you to look at another one. John chapter number 1. John chapter 1. And verse 1. All right, we have the word in the beginning was the word. Now, beginning has to do with creatures, all right? Eternity has no beginning. The eternal one has no beginning. Christ had no beginning. There never was a time. He did not exist. So anytime we have terminology like in the beginning is something that relates to creatures. We do have a beginning. We started somewhere. Of course, you and I both know tonight we came from God. God started us. Created us, brought us into existence. In John chapter number 1, the beginning was the word, logos here. There's two Greek words translated word. There are more, but rhema and logos. We'll get into all that tonight. But in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now here we are. Here's the apostle John looking back into eternity past. Christ is not only the wisdom of God, according to the writer of Proverbs, he's the word of God. All right, now this is God's word. Now, of course, this is a big thing to get off into tonight. We're not going to do that. But when you're talking about the Word of God, are you talking about his projected statements? Are you talking about the Word in the sense that it searches out because his Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? What are we talking about with the Word of God? Is this the manifestation of God's statement about humanity and about mankind? In other words, did God say everything there was to say about a human being before the human being was ever made? And that statement is in Christ. Because when the Lord Jesus came into this world, he fulfilled every need that a human being had. Follow me. All right. And Christ is not created. He's not a created being. No, sir. You've got a crowd out there teaching that garbage. He's not created. He did not come into being. The God-man did. But the second person of the Trinity came down from heaven, Christ, and incarnated himself as a man, and then the man came from the virgin's womb. That's when the man started. But the Son of God did not start anywhere. He's always been. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17 gives you a little deeper look into this. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. By him who? Who's him? Well, in the context, it's Christ. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. The writer of Hebrews chapter number 8 says. So we have here, all things were created by him and for him. I'm one of those things. I'm a thing. I'm a creature. Is that all you are, a preacher? That's all I am. A thing, a preacher. But I am a son of God by the new birth. Amen. Amen. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And he is before all things. And not only did he create them, but look at this. And by him all things consist. So they're held together. And they are identified. They are what they are. And I almost get the idea right here that by him all things consist, whether it be DNA or RNA or messenger RNA or whatever goes with it. He's the one that keeps it all together. He coded it. He made it. And I hope to Dickens tonight you don't think that vastly complex code of DNA just happened. Lord of mercy, man. If that's what you believe, you need your head checked and you need a little time off. You need to smell some fresh air. Get out, sit down by the ocean somewhere. Lord of mercy. No, I mean, when they came out with DNA, if you are an atheist and you still are an atheist, you're a fool. And I'm being kind tonight. You are a fool. To think that something like that could come into existence without a being like the Almighty. But anyway, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now here's what the Lord said himself in John 17, verse number 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So here's Christ saying, you are from beneath. Or from below, I am from above. And that's exactly what we have here. So here's a third one I want you to notice tonight. He is referred to as the angel of the Lord in a few places in the Old Testament. There's no question, it's indisputable. Not always when you see the word angel or angel of the Lord does it refer to Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, but sometimes there's no getting away from it. It is. It's the Lord Jesus. And in Exodus chapter number 3, verses 2 through 6, he speaks to Moses from the burning bush. That's the Lord, but he's called the angel of the Lord. In Genesis chapter number 18, verses 1 through 33, we have three visitors that show up to Abraham. Three visitors, and referred to as angels. Remember that the Old Testament concept of an angel is no different than the New Testament concept of an angel. An angel in the first place is a mysterious spirit being. All right, it may be a creature that was created as an angel. All right, anything apart from the Creator is a creature. Care what it is, seraphim, cherubim, angel, they're creatures, every last one of them. So we have many times in the Old Testament, it's a creature, an angel in that sense. But sometimes in the Old Testament, when it refers to the angel of the Lord, it's talking about the Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are those that young men go off to Bible college and they'll be taught in the eternal generation of Christ. So what does that mean? Well, that means that, for example, Psalm chapter number 2 and verse number 7, I'll read that for you tonight. I will declare the decree. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, this is Jehovah, hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, it'll make a difference how you want to spend it and how high sounding you want to make it. If there's a day that Christ became the Son of God, and this is what eternal generation means, there was a time. It could be forever and ever and ever, 10,000 trillion years in the past. But if he came into existence, whenever he came into existence, he is no higher than any of the rest of us. He's a creature. And that's a big deal. That's a big one. All right. So what's the day then? Well, this text, Psalm 2, is quoted in the New Testament. And let me show you the places. Look at Acts 13, verse 33. Psalm 2 is quoted in the New Testament. And Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. Now watch this. He makes reference back to the second psalm. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, when you have a text here that says, He hath raised him up, you had those out there that teach that Christ was born again. And he was born again at his resurrection. He didn't need to be born again. The new birth, when the Lord said it to Nicodemus, he didn't say to Nicodemus, you're a sinner above all other sinners, and this is something special that you need. Nicodemus was just as lost as anybody was lost. But he brought before Nicodemus something that made him think, you must be born again. Remember, I showed you where there's not one scripture in the Old Testament that makes any type of clear statement about the new birth. But then we took him back to Adam. Now look at this. He quotes the second psalm. And he says, in reference to raised up Jesus again. Well, look what it says in Romans 1:4. Romans 1:4 it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. All right? Raised from the dead, declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness. Now, I've mentioned that in the past. I just want to give it to you again tonight. We're not going to get into any detail about it. But it's pretty clear that the fact that he was raised from the dead is another affirmation. It doesn't make him the Son of God. It affirms by declaration that he is, you see. That's what that word means. That's how you understand that. So Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 5 says this. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Well, he didn't. Remember what I said about the angels. They're creatures. They're creatures. And there's no way that they could qualify for this. You see, these texts are used to qualify Christ as the king. He's a king. He's a king. Yes, he is. He's a king. And of course, we know him to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's right. And his kingdom is about to be manifested. In Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 5, here we are again. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Here we are. Qualifies him as the son. That's remarkable. When they quote this text in the New Testament, there's an application. Every time they quote Old Testament scripture, they're applying it. And that's a great truth to learn about understanding the Bible. Anytime that they quote Old Testament scripture, they're making an application of it. And folks, I'll accept it the way they apply it. I'm not an apostle. And these men wrote not as they, you know, not out of their will or any kind of a motive. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't change in the New Testament. Things are learned, received by revelation from God. Now, I want to take you to a place tonight where I want you to buckle up and start thinking with me. The new birth, here's your question. Is it a new birth that originated from the dead spirit of the unsaved? Let's look at who you are. When Adam sinned in the garden, Adam sinned, all right? Adam was created a spirit being. That's who we are. We're spirits. But he fell. And when he fell, his spirit that kept him alive, according to what it says over here, and I'll read it for you. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3 and verse number 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? The Bible makes it very clear that that spirit is the life force, the life principle given to you from God. But in the case of Adam, when God made Adam, he not only gave him the life principle and the life force, he was alive to God. His spirit was alive spiritually. All right? But once he sinned, he continued to live with the same type of spirit that an animal lives by. The life force that comes forth from God who keeps us alive. But spiritually, he was dead to God. I mean, you agree with that? He was dead to God. And this is why, Nicodemus, you must be born again. All right, but now it poses this question. All right, you're born again in here tonight. You're saved. The soul is saved. The Bible doesn't talk about the spirit being saved. The spirit's born again, but the soul is saved. Here you sit. All right. Is that old man still the old man? Has anything ever changed about the old man? He's still as wicked and rotten and low down and good for nothing as he always has been, correct? Where did the new man come from? Now, did the new man come by the old man being born again and come forth like that from the old man? Or did the new man come from God himself? So no change has taken place to the old man. He's still the old man, right? All right, so is the old man a spirit? Is he a spirit? He's a spirit, isn't he? The old man is a spirit. So see the look on these, I wish you could see the look on the faces. So now, the new man, what is he? He's a spirit. Where does he come from? Come from God, doesn't he? You remember breathing and all that? We won't get all that tonight. Just simply say in a generic sense, the new man came forth from God, right? Then therefore that new man has been born of God. All right. Here you sit before me tonight and you've got two spirits in you. Is that right? You ever thought of it like that? Now you're giving me that look again. You've got the spirit of the old dead man, which is the life principle and the life force, who indeed cannot be subject to the law of God. He's dead to God. An unsaved man's spirit is as dead to God as it can possibly be. He's dead to God, folks. But if you're born again tonight, that birth that took place in you came forth from God, and now you are alive in the Almighty. And the new man is the one that's alive. And then from henceforth in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, to put on the new man, take off the old man. So where do you do that? You do it in your soul. The soul is the intermediary that can connect with the old dead man. Say, how do you know that? Before you were saved by the grace of God, did you have a mind? Of course you did. You thought, you acted. And most of what unsaved people do is react. That's the truth. They just float around here and float there and look for pleasure here and look for this and that. First thing, something blows up and they're reacting. All right. But the new man can have the mind of Christ. Where does that come from? It comes from the soul. All right. So therefore, there's a conflict and a battle raging over the mind. Am I right in that?
Amen.
Sure I am. Absolutely. So for you to understand how dead that old man is, think about the times in your mind when you know you're drifting off away from God. You know you are. And you don't enjoy the things of the Lord. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. And when you come to church, you know, you just come out of necessity or whatever the reason might be. But you're thinking all the time. You're remembering where you came from. You remember the old pleasures, the old world. You remember all that. That's not the new man thinking. That's the old man. So is he alive? He's alive in that sense. He's alive in the sense that he is against God. He's a spirit being, but he's dead to God. There's no communication between the old man and the Lord. All right. Now, where does this spirit come from then? Therefore, if you're born of the Spirit of God, we've settled it tonight. It does not come from the old man. No. In other words, he doesn't take part of the spirit of the old man and regenerate it and give him birth and then still leave part of the old man there. No, you've got a completely new man, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Brand new. Just as new as a fresh born baby. As a newborn baby. He's new. And so therefore he has to grow. And he has to grow in a spiritual world. That new man that's been born of the Spirit of God, that came forth from God, that has been renewed in the image of God. According to the Apostle John in 1 John chapter number 3, it is impossible for him to sin. Now it's quiet in here. Why? Because that is the birth of a son of God. 1 John 3. All right. The soul can sin, and the soul that sinneth, it can die or will die. You see, that soul is so important for you tonight if you're born again. Before you're born again, soul doesn't mean a thing, because essentially the soul and the spirit are one in the sight of God before the new birth. This is why he says you are circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands in the putting off of the body of this flesh. There is a distinct some even say it so much as use medical terminology. There's something that is cut free and cut loose. And once you're born of the Spirit of God, there's a brand new person that is not connected any longer to that old man. Your new man is not connected in any way with that old man. The battlefield takes place in the soul, in the mind. Let me agree with that. Say, well, I don't battle in my mind. Well, that's your problem. Yeah, a lot of folks get saved, but then they continue on in their life like the old man. They use the old man's terminology. They think like the old man thinks. And they, that's their life. And you know what the Bible says about that? It says that if ye live after the flesh, you'll what? Notice carefully now, if, the conditional term. We know what an unsaved man's going to do. He's going to live after the flesh because that's all he can do. So he's talking to save people when he says that. Right. He's making it clear. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. So therefore, the battle has to rage. And how many of you believed this morning? I mean, tonight? You can always tell a genuine preacher. He gets his mornings and nights mixed up. Amen. How many of you believe tonight that some people's lives have been cut short? Okay. I do. Don't you? Yes, I do. I do. And there are times, I've known people who I know love the Lord. I know they love the Lord. I know they did. But for whatever reason, a lot of reasons can present themselves. A lot of reasons to cause people to turn their back on God, drift away from Him, backslide, whatever you want to call it, and quit fellowship with the Lord, don't read their Bible, don't have fellowship with God. And what happens? Then they're headed down the road to death. That's what's going to happen. That's right, and it's what he's talking about in Hebrews 12. He said, every son I receive, I scourge, chasten, and the reason he does that is for your spiritual benefit. And he says, if you be without chastisement and you're a partaker and you're doing what you used to do, you profess to be a Christian, but there's no chastisement. Now, chastisement is not problems happen to you like they happen to everybody else. Chastisement is not where, well, this thing happened to me. No, chastisement is God's way of getting your attention and speaking directly to your soul and letting you know I'm your father. And son, you're running from me. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. You don't have to raise your hand tonight, but how many's ever had that happen to them? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that includes preachers. We're not exempt from that. I marvel sometimes when I see how some preachers are pastoring and preaching, and I mean, they get up in the pulpit and they let you have it over the very thing they're doing. And you can be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. They think for some reason, well, if I'm going to get up and preach about it, and, you know, God's going to use me, well, he'll take care of me. And no, he won't. Sin, when it is finished, does what? It brings forth death. All right, we got that settled then. There are two of you in here tonight. Two of you. Man, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Do you know what you got if you've got a spirit and doesn't have a body? What have you got? I thought somebody said something. I didn't hear them. You got a haint. How many's ever heard a haint? Now you can tell where I grew up. Yes, sir, buddy. I grew up in the 19th century. My grandfather was born in 1878. My grandmother was born, I think, it was 1881. A haint. Well, what's a haint? It's a ghost. It's a ghost. Have you ever heard of the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, I don't believe in ghosts. Then you don't believe in the Holy Ghost, right? And you ought to read the book of Job. You'd be amazed at the creaking and the squeaking and the noises and the spirits and the stuff that's going on in Job. It's quite a remarkable thing. And you remember what the apostle says? We've seen a ghost. Scared him to death. Well, at this house tonight, if we have 500 saved people in this house tonight, we've got 1,000 spirits. Right? Did I do my math right? Okay. And it doesn't bother any of us because we're all in bodies. You remember what the Spirit said to the Lord when he came there and said, what is your name? Legion. For we are many. Don't cast us out into the deep. There's a herd of swine over here. They didn't want to be disembodied spirits. They wanted a place to go to. They wanted a body. And so when he said, well, go on. Go. And of course, the pigs couldn't handle them. What'd the pigs do? That's right. They run off in the water. Gadara. I've been to Gadara. And there's a Byzantine church there. And most of the places in the Holy Land where historical events took place, they came along. The Byzantines were good for this. They were some of the early Christians. They built churches. And they built a church there at the spot where they think these swine went off into the Sea of Galilee. They couldn't handle these disembodied spirits. Now, somebody asked the question tonight, is a disembodied spirit a demon? We're not too sure about it. We're not too sure about it. Everybody wants to make everything black and white, cut and dried, simplify the Bible. The Bible's not simple. Somebody said, well, demons are fallen angels. Ah, so. You got a scripture for that. They're unclean spirits. They sure are. And they can possess a body. Oh, yeah. They can give you a time. All right, well, I just wanted to say that to you tonight for you to kind of get your bearings of where you are. Just look around. We've got a few people in here tonight. Just double it, and that's how many spirits we got in here tonight. It's kind of scary, isn't it? You know why? That old man is just as much alive as he's ever been. And the only time you'll ever be separate and free of him is the moment, and he says it here. or ever the silver cord can be loosed, or cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Bless his righteous name tonight, folks. Amen. They're about to come out with something. President Trump has been told about the UFOs by the military and by, you know, the civilian agencies and so forth. They've been keeping up this for some time, and they're about to release some information, and I don't know how soon this is going to happen, but some people are saying that when this information comes out, that some Christians will lose their faith, some Christians will be strengthened in their faith. A lot of people out here that never darken a church door are going to be scared to death, and they're going to start running to the church house, that it's going to be such a profound thing when this goes out and is made public. Well, now, you know, to alarm someone simply for the sake of alarming them is bad. That's bad. There's no sense in that. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, it says, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they might believe a lie." We live in an age of deception. Artificial intelligence ought to let you know that. Did you know that all across the country right now, how many of you know what a data center is? Okay, data centers, they're popping up everywhere. Artificial intelligence needs an enormous amount of information and power, electrical power, to generate the kind of research that they do and present it to us. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Artificial intelligence, folks, is growing by leaps and bounds. It's something else. It really is. And if you would do well tonight you don't have to run around scared to death. I mean, if this is the prelude of the Lord coming, come on. You know, come on. Put your little green men on there, yellow men, or whatever you want to put on there. Care what they look like. I agree with what I think the vice president said. He says, "I don't doubt the existence of these things." Apparently he's seen a lot. He said, "But they're demons." That's what he said. And I tend to agree with him. It's spirit world. Yes, they're spirit world. But here's the great thing about it. This may be right at the door of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Because I thought about today. I looked around and I thought, man, this might be it. I kind of got excited with it. When it really get a hold of you, when it really gets a hold of you deep down inside, you say, well, you know, I'm looking for his appearing. I don't know what else I could do to be ready for his appearing. I know I'm saved. I know who I believe. I'm trusting and looking for him. Wouldn't it be something if he showed up this week? Man, he'd come at any time. There are no signs, prophecies that have to be fulfilled. Folks, that's all day of the Lord, millennium. There's nothing that has to be fulfilled. At any moment, the Lord could come back and catch his bride up to meet him in the clouds. So we'll walk out of here tonight with that on our mind and on our heart. Keep an open mind. Listen to what they have to say. But don't for a minute take their interpretation of it. Stick with the book. Stick with the book. Yeah, stick with the book. It's something. So he's coming again. So here I am tonight. I'm born again. And the part that was born again did not come from here. It came from above. That's my home. That's my home. I'm not of this earth now. Born of the Spirit of God. Now, the old man, sure, that's where I'm from here. Dust to dust. But the new man, he didn't come from here, and he's not somebody God worked over and revived and made, you know, and pumped up. No, I am a brand new creature that came forth from God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help us as we open the Bible. We believe it, Lord. This house is full of people. I don't doubt for a minute. They believe your word. And bless us, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.